From the leading manufacturer of video game hits comes the number one video game system, the Nintendo Entertainment System. Now you're playing with power.
When you get hold of the Nintendo Entertainment System, when you master Rob, the video robot, and meet the challenge of Gyromite, when you shoot the light-sensing zapper, when you play the system with the most arcade hits, you're playing with power. The Nintendo Entertainment System. Now you're playing with power.
Knight Rider, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world.
Socialize with so many women.
I mean, what's wrong with the little companionship? Huh?
I am the voice of Knight Industry 2000's microprocessor. Kit, if you prefer.
Every child is afraid. Unknown. The nightmare. In Gatlin, Nebraska, that nightmare is in the corn. Stephen King's Children of the Corn.
Praise God! Praise the
King, the author of Carrie, The Shining, The Dead Zone, and Christine, an adult nightmare. Children of the Corn.
I'm here, Lord! I'm ready! Help me! Help me!
Stephen King's Children of the Corn, an adult nightmare.
Jumping into a few questions about Stranger Things that we still have that are lingering. We have 11 questions, oddly enough. Was that manufactured? I don't think so. Maybe.
Likely.
Wink, wink, wink. Tongue firmly in cheek. All right, so we're going to jump right into the questions because I think these are questions that a lot of other people have. And I've kind of like sent out this little survey for people to, well, you know, like what's your most pressing questions and what do you still have left that you want to actually talk about? So that's pretty much where I want to, you know, start with the questions that we have. And I'm pretty sure a lot of the questions that we have are questions that, like I said before, everyone else has.
Right.
So one of the questions, and this is from season 4, is Dr. Owen still alive? What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, I thought about this a number of ways back and forth, and I'm going to go with solidly 80% yes. Just because while he's a side character, he's main enough, and we didn't actually see his death, which we often, I mean, you know, when somebody dies, we know that they're dead. It's not, you know, it's not inferred or anything else. And since we didn't, I can see the sort of all hands on deck coming into season 5. So I'm thinking yes. What about you?
Right. I think absolutely yes. Yes, he's definitely, and I think he'll definitely be a pivotal character in season 5 as well, as far as, you know, because the other doctor is not there anymore. Dr. Brenner, he's not there anymore. And, you know, he's been kind of like, he kind of took the place of Dr. Brenner, and he's definitely a better, you know, role model for Eleven as far as being that doctor, outside of course, Hopper and everyone else that's around
him. Right, right.
You know, in that clinical place, he is the best person to be there to further garner her her powers, or to really dive into what she really needs to focus on. And he, and honestly, the reason why I say he's the best as far as like role models, because he seems like he has her best interests at heart. You know, we did see him at, you know, towards the last, or I think it was episode 7 or 8. I think it was 7 or 8, one of the two. The one that was called Papa. I think that when it saw the explosion, because we saw the general come out and he was fine. And
right.
And if you notice, he came out of a side, like side part of the hatch,
mm-hmm.
which we didn't see before. So it's probably possible that definitely he's very much still alive, and he seemed to come out unharmed whatsoever.
Right.
So yeah, I think he definitely is alive. But still a question that, you know, it still needs to be 100% answered.
Right.
All right, we're going to jump into the second question. Is Kali number 8 coming back?
What, your turn to go first this time.
Okay, okay. Do I think she's coming back? I think, okay, I'm going to put it in percentage-wise. There's probably 55%. Chance she's
okay.
back.
Okay.
And I say that for a couple of reasons. I think she would really complete Eleven's story of her growth, because of course we had the much maligned episode 7 in season 2, where she went through this, you know, pretty much growing, you know, part of her story. And I think that her coming back, because she has powers. I don't know if everyone fully, I'm pretty sure everybody kind of like realized that she has some of the same powers as Vecna, which is oddly, it's odd enough itself, of illusion and just tricking the brain, because, you know, as we know, Vecna goes into the mind and he messes with those, you know, not so good memories, those trauma memories. So I think that she would be back to fight him in some way. I definitely think she would come back.
It's interesting how you phrase that she has some of the same powers as Vecna. I think that everybody has the same powers as each other, in the fact that, you know, like Eleven can walk through people's memories. She just doesn't mess with them while she's there. So is it a different power, or is it just the same power used in different ways?
I think that's probably a more accurate depiction of the way the powers are being used. And yeah, I think that's probably closer to what it actually is
And it does make sense. So, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and agree with your 55 for my answer, which is kind of cheating, I know, but...
Yeah, it is. it is.
But no, I do, again, like, I'm still under this overarching answer of all hands on deck. We have enough stuff happening and enough groundwork laid that we can bring these characters in and back and around and pull from their strengths in order to come up against Vecna for the last, you know, for this season.
Yeah. It's and you know, I don't, and one of the reasons why I said I really don't want her to come back, but I do, because I think maybe they might need some help at a certain point, but at the same time, I don't want it to be this whole Avengers Endgame type of, you know, we've got all these super, you know, coming back to fight against the big baddie, you know, i.e. Thanos. I just don't want to see anything like that on screen for this, because it's been such a contained show. And although it has gotten bigger in the last two seasons, they're saying they're going back to their roots in this final season. Kind of like everybody's back home. They're back in Hawkins. It's going to be more contained, and bringing her back out and them having this, you know, and if she comes back with friends or whatnot, I think that'll bring out this whole bigger than life and, you know, story that I don't think we really need to have that. I think there needs to be that these other kids are doing these things to help out. It's really hard, and I don't think we need all these side stories to, you know, muddy the waters within the story. So I definitely think that would be good in some cases, but bad in some other ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So I would like to see, I don't know if she's actually going to come back, because they haven't mentioned it. We, you know, and because of that episode, Lost Sister, I think that's the name of the episode. I don't think she's going to be back, because it was one of the few episodes that everyone overall didn't like. I thoroughly enjoyed the episode, because it was kind of like this Yoda meets Luke Skywalker, you know, dynamic right. There on, you know, she had to learn her full powers, whether it was moving the train with her mind. You can say, you know, that was Luke moving the ship out of the swamps. You know, it's kind of like these parallels, but I don't know. I don't think she'll be back. The only thing that really bothers me about it is that there's still this other out there that has powers, and we haven't addressed this. Like, we know number one, you know, we know he's there. 11 is there. All the rest of them were killed. So number 8 would be the only one. So I would think somehow, even if it's just to have her come back, do this thing to help out, and then she dies in the process of that, and that's the only reason I say there's a slight chance she definitely, well, more than a slight chance, that she'll be back. All right. Any other thoughts on that before we move on to question number 3 that we have?
Well, I feel like the question has a tendency to have a little bit of a creep in the answer, and the fact that if we're answering yes or no, does she come back, then it's very simple. But then when you add in the idea that these are the quote-unquote only people who have powers, I think they're the only ones that we have knowledge about, and that's where I want to kind of rein my answer in and not get us completely sidetracked with that. So we'll stay with your 5% chance.
Yeah. I know exactly where you're going, because there's so many. Yeah, it's like when we ask these questions and we get these, you know, other additional questions.
Right.
It's like we go on and on and on and continue this.
Right. We do a solid whole episode on just that, which, you know, like, we're sticking with our questions here. So let's go for 4.
Exactly. All right. Number 3. Will Susie meet the entire gang in person? You know, I'll let you go.
I mean, I hope so. I really do hope so. I mean, yeah. I enjoyed her family. I have always enjoyed Susie. The distance away that she is problematic, but
That's
you know, like, you know, yeah. So I'm hopeful. we have a lot of stuff to do. So do we have time to get Susie to Hawkins? I don't know. Maybe Susie can start in Hawkins. But if you're a parent of any kind of person that reads the news, why would you send your kid to Hawkins right now?
Exactly. Look, Dustin, I feel your pain with the whole distance thing, man. I feel your pain. it's not realistic, you know, because the only person that has met her in person has been the ones that were there, Jonathan, Mike, right. You know, they, you know, Argyle, they were, you know, and Will, they were the only ones that actually met her in person. Everyone else, no one else has met her outside of Dustin, but, you know, at camp almost at this point in the story, it's probably about a year later, I guess, but it's just so weird to realize they haven't shared any screen time. And I truly don't think they will. I don't think they'll really share any true screen time.
I agree. The fact that
you said, and that's sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like I'm sure hilarious just because the combination of Susie, Dustin, and everybody else, like Susie and Dustin sort of amplify each other's super nerd. So it would be obviously a very, very fun thing to watch, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe there'll be a time where it fast forwards a little bit and maybe, you know, but that's young love. I don't know if that's realistic saying 3 years later when they're the age that they are, but I mean, it's possible. It's possible.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
It's absolutely possible. But I just don't, you know, cause the distance, you know, it would probably be, especially at that young age, would be an issue, especially in the '80s. Right. You know,
like that's where your next door neighbor moved and you never heard from them ever again. It's exactly. Not like now where they move and you have all the social media to stay connected, probably as least as good, if not better, than when you were apart. So
right, yeah. So the jury's out on that still.
Yeah, I'd say the jury's not out. I'd say both of us agree. While it would be fun, I'm going to give it 20% chance.
Yeah. It's very, very low.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably more along the lines of 10%.
So it's like almost a solid just no. So
yeah, pretty much there. You know, and it's sad because there have been so many great moments with her throughout the show. You know, but yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. I really don't. All right, jumping into question four: will we have flashbacks of characters from past seasons?
I mean, we did that a lot in season four, but season four had so much to do with regret and things that people were ashamed of or whatever. So it was so much a part of the storyline that we needed those flashbacks.
Yeah,
and then Eleven's fashion, you know, Eleven's story coming full circle for her to understand really what happened on that day with Juan.
Yeah,
I mean,
there will be flashbacks of not past characters, but of current characters from past seasons, and we get some more context on that. There's one photo that was put out about a week or so ago, Will Byers, and it's showing his younger self in season one versus, you know, him now laying next to himself. I don't know if this is like a dream sequence or what. We have no context for that whatsoever, but that's someone who's currently still, you know, very much so a part of the story. So that's definitely not any past characters, but.
Right. And you know, since, again, here we have the question creep. Since the Upside Down is stuck in 1983, the question becomes, is that a flashback or is that something that is still sort of stuck in the Upside Down?
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially since it's Will. I mean, if it was any other character, then you could probably argue a flashback more confidently, but with Will, there's it opens the door to a couple other things.
Right, exactly, absolutely, yeah, yeah. I don't think we're gonna get flashbacks of anyone else. I was trying to think of anyone, you know, who it if it would move the story forward or give some more context to the story, and I don't see anyone coming back that would actually do that. Billy, no. I mean, any fact. No. You know, or maybe, you know, I don't know. You know,
I don't. Again, like, I feel like, in my mind, which, whatever, season 5 is going to be a lot of forward motions. Season 4,
yeah,
we had to go way, way, way back. We had to go all the way back to Vecna's origins, you know, which obviously predated Eleven's origins. And so I really feel like we're going to start where we are, or even in the future from where we are at the end of 4, and move forward as much less jumping back consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. Yeah. All right. Question number 5. What's up with the school's counselor and her clock obsession? And is Vecna, is she a spy for Vecna? Like, because I didn't notice it upon first viewing, and then I noticed when she's talking to Max at the bus stop whenever she gets off the bus at school, and she's got clocks, and then when she's in the counselor's office actually having a conversation with her, she's having a session, there's like a clock in the background, there's a clock on, she's actually wearing clocks. I'm like, huh, I don't know. Or maybe that the Duffer Brothers, they just put that in there just for fun. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, when we watch Vecna looking for victims in one of the episodes, and mm-hmm. you know, he's kind of like basically perusing through the possibilities, it's very... He doesn't pick any adults.
Yep.
But it's very possible that he could utilize that connection with an adult to identify possible targets.
Yeah, yeah. Because we know, and the targets that he did, you know, like it was even brought out within the one of the episodes, one of the first 2 or 3 episodes within the 4th season, they really talked about, yeah, there's this common, you know, thread between all of the victims, whether it was Fred and Chrissy and Max, and you know, it just mm-hmm. you know because she had their files, she had all their traumas, and so
like, does that mean that she handed them over to Vecna? I'm thinking no.
I'm thinking
that mean that Vecna could walk inside of her mind and sort of see what the possibilities were there and identify him that way. Yeah.
That's definitely a possibility. Yeah.
So I would say not a Vecna spy as much as a Vecna bug.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Willing participant. Like, I didn't know I was doing the thing when I was actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't, I'm going to err on the side of not a spy for Vecna, and the clock obsession is just something that the Duffer Brothers put into the story just for, you know, just like a little Easter egg just for fun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see, I guess. I mean, it's definitely a possibility. It will be interesting to see if that gets fleshed out.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Question number 6. Will the residents of Hawkins finally be privy to the supernatural happenings?
I mean... Up until this point, you could explain a whole lot, you know what I mean? Just
yeah,
and people were sort of willing to believe the story, you know, the party line, and keep it on this side of supernatural. But now, I mean, I don't know what you say out loud that people are not like, really, that's I don't know.
It's like, you know, that suspension of disbelief. It's like, we can't go that far. I mean, I know it's like an 80s trope for like parents and, you know, the general
public. Oh, yeah.
In general, not to know what's going on. Like, I always think about like Ghostbusters and everything that was going on throughout the entirety of that whole movie. I mean, even going into like part 2, it's like, you know, there's all these things happen in this major city, and people are like, oh, the Statue of Liberty is walking down the street. Okay, you know, there's a, you know, Puff Man walking right down the street. Okay, right. You know, yeah. It's like, what is that about?
Yeah, like, how far does it have to go before people are like, okay, this is, you know, yeah, all right, we've moved past normal explainable occurrences.
Right, right. It's like, this ain't normal. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
And I guess we're going to have to really see the truth of the matter of what it is that actually happened in Hawkins. Like, when we see the cracks and everything else, are these cracks, like, literally I could be walking down the street grabbing some groceries and accidentally fall into the Upside Down?
Right, right, right. Because we have to see the further implications of that and everything.
Right.
Right after, because we only saw, you know, maybe a couple days afterwards.
Right.
You know, everything that was going on. So it's going to be really interesting to see exactly where that goes and how they explain all of this and how they explain from everything turning from, you know, nice spring colors to everything is dark and we've got this, you know, as little Holly said, you know, Mike,
it's snowing,
right? You know, it's like, yeah. You know, it's not snow, that's ash, and you know,
right,
pretty much turning to hell,
right? Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like, it's so interesting because, you know, you see the mass exodus of Hawkins, you know, people are like, no, like, I don't know what's going on, but we're leaving.
Right.
But then that's then mirrored in this whole, like, disaster recovery center where people are, you know, getting food and water and this and that, like, saying that if this were happening, giant cracks, possibly to underworld, you know, the darkness, the ash, everything else, and people are like, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Right.
It's just, you know, like, some people like have made the decision to stay and exactly to just be like, yeah, it's fine. Like, yep. Oh, wow.
Hell's come to earth. It's fine.
Right. It's fine. It's fine. It'll be fine. Just put a Band-Aid on it. It's fine.
It'll be awesome. Yeah.
So, yeah, it will be interesting to see what, because obviously the residents of Hawkins are literally a character in and of themselves. Like, in each season, we've had to deal with just the general populace in some variety. So
everyone in town seems to be a Ted.
Yes.
Ted Wheeler.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? You know, everybody's, you know. But it is an 80s trope. So it's meta within meta, you know, within the story. So it makes sense.
It will be interesting to see how that character of the general populace of Hawkins deals with this recent development and then how we move forward through that. Like, I'm thinking that I would be one of the cars leaving, you know, unless we, you know, part of the band of the misfit band of heroes here. This is the first time you sort of realized something was happening, I'm not sure I'd stick around and try to figure it out.
No. It's like, yeah, this probably is not the time to figure it out, you know, those things. Like, let's just go and we'll, you know, keep tabs on the news and see what's going on and from far. And yeah, that would be, as far as for me, that would be the course of action.
You know? Like, that's when you hear the sound in the basement. Like, are you going to go down there and figure it out? Or you're just like, nope.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if you have, like, children. It's like, yeah, right. I don't think I'm sticking around for this. Maybe if you're a single guy or, you know, woman, you're sitting there and it's like, you know, you've got your home. But I don't think that would be my course of action. Just
sticking around.
Yeah, we're waiting for the monsters. We're waiting for the monsters. Demogorgons. Demodogs. Vecna. Yeah. Even Prince Boris. That's no one that'll start from the thing. Yeah. We're totally waiting for all these things to come through. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump to number 7. Okay. Will we ever get to meet Steve's parents? Now, I say that. Now, this is the question I've asked since the very beginning. We've never met. We had them alluded to in the first 2 seasons, and they've never been talked about. He's still, you know, now he's, you know, I guess, going to college, you know, but he's currently working at the video store with Robin. But we've never met his parents. We know that he comes from a wealthy family, but we have never one single time met them. And I'm like, I want to know, like, who these people are. I mean, they would have to, right? they would have to introduce them somehow, especially since all these events that are happening in that are supposedly, I guess, happening or going to happen in season five. I would think that they would, you know, we finally would see them. And but I mean, not that it lends anything to the story, but just seeing them in passing, like, hey, he actually has some parents, like, because we've seen everyone else's parents at this point.
And I think it is, you know, like, it would sort of round his character out to sort of put him within a family, because everybody else's childhood, parents, upbringing, whatever it is, has shaped who they are. And we're learning more and more about him, you know, and he has one of the best character arcs of all of the seasons.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It would be nice to sort of put him in a home, put him, you know, like, what does he do when he's not babysitting, as he likes to call it?
Right. Goddamn babies, right? I relate, Steve. I relate. It's just, but we never met his parents. Like this is just.
No, I know. Heck, we've met. Right, we've met Susie's parents or parents. Right. And we don't know, you know. So like, I feel like they're like oddly missing here. So
yeah, I'm like, you know, and he talks about his dad, you know, was on a business trip or whatever, and his mom went with him. Okay, yeah, that was like how many seasons ago? How many episodes ago?
Right.
We've never even seen them in passing. And granted, some of the story didn't, you know, because it's like, where does he go, you know, at night to go to sleep?
Right.
What does he do? What are his parents thinking about all these things?
And here we have the perfect situation to meet them at the Hawkins meeting, town meeting.
Right, right. All the other parents were there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
We didn't, you know, but he was away. Like, that would have been a perfect time, you know, if they're influential in the community, being, mm-hmm. you know, well, that would have been one of the perfect opportunities to actually see them. So I'm just thinking, it's like, why have we, like he's gone through all of these things, of these things, and he's got like bruises from head to toe.
Absolutely.
It's like, they absolutely give no shits, or
he worked at the mall. So after the mall fire and everything else, like, nobody has any questions and nobody has any concerns of being like,
exactly.
So yeah, it will. I don't know. It would be nice to fill in that blank. Is it the most important thing to answer?
Probably not.
But it would be a nice blank to fill.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it doesn't further the story along any more than where it is right now, and it's not going to do any of that in the future, I don't think. You know, unless we come to find out, they were spies for Vecna. You know, I'm all on that spy for Vecna thing.
I know.
Everybody's like, damn it, enough with the spies and Vecna.
He can walk through their minds. They don't need a spy.
Exactly. Duh. Think. Use your thinking cap. Oh, that's a deep cut. Dustin knew what I was just saying. But, you know, it's just, you know, it just for me, it's like, just have them like, hey, we're here, we care, okay, we're gone, that's it, that's it, it's the end of the, you know, story for me. But anyway, that's what I want. I want Steve's parents. That's what I want.
Okay,
I want to see who formed him, just like you said. I want to see who formed him, where he came from, why he has the, you know, idiosyncrasies that he has. I want to understand why he is who he is.
Well, you've put the question out there. Now we'll see if it gets answered.
Yeah, we'll see. And you know, and if I have a chance, I'm going to that you know, Comic Con kind of thing in October of this year, and there's going to be a chance to have photo ops with them. So I'm going to actually ask them. It's like, can you make sure that we meet your parents next year? I'm totally going to do that. It'll be more about what I just talked about later on. But yeah, you know, it's like, can you please just, you know, just give me, you know, this is the last season. You know, I'm pretty sure you got some kind of sway right now. You know, on the show, just hey, I got a great podcast. We talk about you guys all the time. You know? I'll do that.
And by we, it is literally just Tony and his weird obsession with. No, I'm just kidding.
Telling all the secrets. No one else knows the real Tony. He's a little bit neurotic, and you know, but he's okay.
It's okay. It's fine. It's totally normal. Uh-huh.
It's totally normal. Totally an 80s trope here, but okay. So we're gonna jump into the next question. All right. Will Mr. Clark come back? I love Mr. Clark. I love teachers. They're great. We need them.
I'm gonna say the answer to that one is yes. We're back in Hawkins. You know, like, again, all this stuff is happening. He was sort of more involved early season 4, answering questions.
Season 3, yeah.
I literally just second-guessed myself halfway through that sentence. but, you know, like, it makes sense that he wasn't there in season 4, because the only thing that was school-related was the basketball team and the basketball game. And then the counselor, obviously. But overall, normal school days and everything else, we didn't have that. And Joyce was gone, and she had moved. And you know what I mean? Like, but now if we're back in Hawkins, and everything is happening in Hawkins, I can see the answer being yes to that.
Right. Yeah, I think so. Because like I said, you know, a lot of the things that we had to do, because a lot of the set pictures that are coming out are them at the school or at this radio station, which is something that was really big in the first season, with them having, you know, being part of the AV club before the fire club. So I can see him coming back for this fifth and final season. And he really was a real pivotal part of the fifth episode in season 1, the Fleeing the Acrobat, where he's actually explaining the Upside Down and talking about that and getting into that. And he had this really close relationship with all of the boys, even 11, for a brief moment there before he just disappeared and we didn't really see him again. But it's just something I really think about all the time. It's like he had this really close relationship. Like Dustin was calling him, asking about the salt bath, and you know, while he's actually on a date on a weekend, it's like, can we talk about this Monday? And it's like, no. Yeah. And I just love that whole dynamic that they had, and I just wish they would bring a little bit of that back. I think they probably will.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, if you're going to compare the three things we've asked so far about people showing back up, which is, will Susie come and meet everybody? Will Steve's parents ever make an appearance? And this one, I think this is probably the most likely.
Yeah, I think so. Because, like I said, it really lends to the story and explaining what's probably going on with why the Upside Down is bleeding into this world and explaining all of that.
And that and the whole idea of, like, back to its roots, you know, like, that would, again, pull us all the way full circle.
Yeah. So I think it's most likely, like, if I had put it in percentage-wise, probably about 80% on that.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to the next question. Number 9, who is Eleven's biological father? Now, kind of like to put a little bit of caveat on that before I jump into it. I've actually talked about this in length in a, you know, kind of a standalone episode on who her biological father possibly is, but I'm just going to shoot this question over to you and let you come full circle with it.
I mean, I feel very underprepared if you've already done a whole episode on it.
Okay. Like I said, what my opinions are and what I'm putting out there is just that, because we still don't have any new information on any of that. This is, those were like just my thoughts on, like, maybe I connected this with this and maybe, and it's all speculation. It's all speculation. So like I said, just getting your viewpoint as far as what you've seen so far and possibly who could be, you know.
I don't even have a beginning point answer for you on this one. So whatever this is solidly your question. I haven't sat and thought about it too much. I do think it's an important thing. If it was left out, and we never found out, I don't know that it would bother me. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't be like one of those things that's like, who was he? Basically, because she never, like, from the beginning.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was part of her life that we have known ever. It's not like there's this shadowy figure. It's not like she has It's not like she has these memories or anything else that we have thought about, wondered about, seen. So, you know, it would be kind of out of the blue if he popped in. And it would probably create a weird dynamic between Hopper and he, just because he's become so much of Eleven's family that.
Right, right. You know, I think that Vecna is her father. I'm just going to put it out there because I've already, you know, and the theory's already been floating around. That talk about like, right?
Right.
Talk about like a crazy, you know, dynamic. It's like, you know, Vecna comes real strolling in. Hey Hopper, good deal. I got it from here. You know what I mean? So
That and, you know, like you like drawing parallels between Stranger Things and Star Wars, and that would almost be overkill, you know?
Yeah. You know, because I, you know, pretty much brought about this, just the whole thing between, you know, Peter Ballard, who is also number one, who is Vecna, you know, he was in the lab at the same time. He would have been far older than 11 was. And if we look at her age now versus the age that he probably would be now, and his and her mom's age, you know, it kind of like tracks. So that's kind of like where I was going with that. And
well, but where at what point basically we see him enter the research facility when he is maybe 12?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do we believe at 12 years old he has a life outside of the research facility, that somehow he encountered Eleven's mom in the research facility? Like, how are you having mom and dad meet here?
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, because he was there for such a long time. He had to been in his maybe, they said the date, and the only thing with this theory, and I've even brought this out, there's some problems with the time element on it between if he was born in 1948 or if he was born in 1954.
Right.
If we were born at 1979, we would get his exact age, depending on if you're going with 1948 or 1954. So it just it just all depends.
Honestly, I feel like he is in the research facility. I have a hard time thinking that he like clocks out for the night and goes home to his quaint little house, and you know what I mean. Like, I don't feel like I feel like once we came into the research facility, that's where we stayed.
Pretty much. Yeah. And I'm thinking, and the reason why I say that is because Dr. Brenner, maybe, possibly, he had this experiments where he's experimenting with people, and that's how Eleven was created, because he realized that number one had these, you know, extraordinary powers, because MK Ultra was also a big thing during that time. So, you know, I'm thinking they did some kind of experiments with, you know, the mom that came in, because remember,
I just sometimes I feel like the amount of torment and I hope not, you know what I mean? I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, because we got such a, because they tried to gray him up, Dr. Brenner, in this fourth season, because they show how caring he was at first, but then at the same time there was these horrific things he was doing, and that's true in real life too. You know, people are not necessarily black or white. They reside in these gray areas a lot of the time, and it's really complicated. But
I don't think he was all that complicated.
He
consistently wanted control and consistently had very little care for what was happening to her.
Yeah, even at the very towards the very end.
There. Absolutely.
Wanted her to say, "You forgive me," and she wouldn't, and that was, you know, that for her was taking back all of that control.
Yeah. So right.
Yeah. Like I said, and they tried to do a great job of painting him in this gray area, but wasn't that so much. But
no, I mean, like maybe for a second you felt that way. When I don't know, I felt like super betrayed when he walked out, and I was just like, really? Like, we have to basically work with her abuser again. Like, I'm just like, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe we'll never know the answer to that question. I don't really think we need to, you know.
Yeah, it would be interesting, of course, but
yeah.
If it doesn't happen, it's not going to be like one of those things I'm going to stay up at night thinking about. So
Right. It doesn't really change the story all that much.
You know? I mean, I won't spend as much time doodling about it in my diary as you do about who Steve's parents are.
See, that is the question. That is the most important.
I know. You're like, screw everything else. Vecna's free. It's fine. It's fine. Who are Steve's parents?
Yeah, I want to meet these glorious people that created this person that was able to change so much and complete this glorious arc that they had over the course of seasons. You know, that's what keeps me up at night writing my journal.
I gave you a diary, but I guess it can be a journal. Fine.
I'll take a diary.
Okay, it's fine.
I'm thinking about community or lack thereof. It's fine. All right, let's jump on to the next question. Number 10. What is the void or the black liminal space where Eleven is able to use her powers to see people move in and out of people's minds? What is that?
I've thought about, this is one thing I actually have thought about, not anything about Eleven's father, but this one, yes. In the Upside Down, everything is connected in the way that, you know, they can't step on the vines, they can't move through the Upside Down interacting with anything that's alive because basically the hive mind is the black space. The equal to that hive mind, that subconscious level that everybody is connected, but we can't contact that unless you have the ability like Eleven does.
Right. Yeah. I used to call it the in between. It's kind of like in between the Upside Down, our world. It's like that little, you know, again, using, you know, the analogy, gray area. It's kind of like that in-between space, like you're just right in between those worlds, and it's unique. Because the reason why I pose this question, because I've always wondered exactly what it is, and, you know, really interesting.
I mean, it's a place where people are, like, mm-hmm. but it's also a place where your memories are. And that's why I feel like it's this sort of shared space. Because it's basically like, and when Eleven is walking through it, basically looking for somebody, at any point she decided to stop and look at where she was, I feel like she could access those things for those people. But she, you know, like she's moving through it in a very specific way. But I do think if you open the right doors, it could be anybody.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I agree with that too. Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting because I was trying to, because when we saw it in the first season, I was trying to figure out exactly what it was, because she was listening to these people talking in Russian, and she was trying to translate that to the doctors, and then there was this back and forth, and I was trying to figure out exactly, like, is this the Upside Down, and
right,
what exactly is this, because it was something new, you know.
Right.
And it was usually when she went to the deprivation tank, she was able to But it seems like, you know, as we've learned, her powers are increasing, and it seems like she's getting more powers whenever she's in that particular place. Like,
well, I do think, I like your word for it, the in-between, because it reaches to the upside down, but it, you know what I mean? It also reaches on the right side up plane as well. So the in-between sounds like a solid choice for a descriptor here.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why it's kind of like in between both the world, because this mm-hmm. is right side up, that's the upside down, and this is in between. So, you know, very, very, very simple.
Yeah.
As I am. Like, let's just keep it simple. Keep it simple. All right. We're going to the 11th question. Will Stranger Things go mature, MA, in its final season?
I mean, the age of the kids and the extreme situation, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if all the elements are right,
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking if you were maybe, I mean, even if you were 10 when this show first started, right? And you were watching it, you know, and now, you know, all these years later, I mean, I think it would be appropriate to have it like end out on this big, but then would that take away some of its, you know, like, this is really dangerous. We got some really, you know, because the language has always been a thing within the show. I mean, they've only, I think, only dropped one F-bomb in the entire show's history, and that was Billy inside the sauna room. But I didn't even know that it was there until I went back and I had the subtitles, because I was, you know, listening to all the dialogue. And, you know, he was talking to Max and he dropped the F-bomb right there. So I don't know if it's even necessary for them to do that, although I could definitely see Hopper doing that and being that character.
And I do think it is the progression of the age of the kids. Like,
yeah,
when you had these kids, 10, 11, 12, it made sense to not have the language as an issue, just because that's the age group that they were. But now, as we're going into this season, depending on the time gap, the jump from season to season, you have kids that are old enough that MA rating would make sense. And yeah, so
yeah, I think I mean, as far as like, I mean, they're almost there. I mean, if you really look at it, because, I mean, the gore level has gone up, especially in season 4.
Yeah, yeah.
The gore level is already there. I mean, it's almost comparable in some cases to, you know, Walking Dead. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, even in, we go back to season 2 when Bob Newby is getting, you know,
right.
Demodog. So, like I said, the gore is already there. And, you know, S words, I mean, galore. I mean, you know, I went back and I went back and looked, and I was like, yeah, the S word is, you know, pretty much the biggest word within the entirety of the show. There's, of course, all these other things, and they've been using, you know, the finger, you know, a lot, which is, you know, for comedic, but I don't think it will be used, the F-bomb, I don't think it will be used in a sexual way for this show.
I don't either, but I could see it. I mean, like, considering how big and bad and awful everything has gotten, and bigger and bigger and bigger, I can see the need to drop more than one F-bomb.
I can see, yeah, definitely. I can see them saying like, oh, that was fucking awesome, or,
right,
you know, or, you know, or, you know, something to that, like this is fucked up, or, you know, something
right.
like that. I can see that would be well within the characters that we've seen on screen.
Absolutely. And but, yeah.
For it to be something else, I it just wouldn't feel like this show that we've, you know, grown to love so much, you know. And
right.
Like, if it's going to be that, let it be that from the very beginning, and let's move.
But yeah, but see, to me, that would have changed the tone. Like, I appreciate that things are that things are progressing, and the age of the kids are progressing, and, you know, like, I to me, it would fit now where it wouldn't have fit in one. Like, if every other word is problematic, then of course it would change the overall tone. But if it happens in a natural course of events, I'd be like, well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is the main point. And like I said, it just, because you can have F-bombs within and it not change the entirety of the show, or, you know, I definitely don't think they're going to go, I mean, sex scenes or anything like that. Like that's that, you know, definitely don't. Yeah, that, because for so many reasons, it would be problematic, right?
I alluding to it, fine. Situations where you can make assumptions that things happen, fine. But spending a lot of time and graphic, screen time, like it isn't characteristic, and I'm not sure what it would add.
It wouldn't add anything, and that's why I say, you know, I don't know. I think they could really stay where they are right now. You know, right. I don't see really changing that too much more, because they wouldn't have, even though there's going to be another time jump, you know, with,
right. But I think gore level and language level, we could make the MA jump, but I don't know if nudity, sex level, if that, those would be the things that kick us over.
Yeah. That would kick you over into something different. I don't think there's really no need for it in the story whatsoever.
I mean, unless we're completely off the mark here on what we feel like is going to happen in season 5.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's something completely different, you know.
Right.
Well, that is all the questions I have for this particular episode. We have several more coming up here. This was going to start as like a singular episode, and now it's going to, you know, it's jumping to 3. Hopefully, we won't go any further than that.
I think we did a really decent job of keeping that question creep controlled. So
right. It's going to totally been a 2-hour conversation for sure.
Yes, I know. And Tony's going to secretly record Steve Parent's "Where Are You" episode and release that one of these days.
Absolutely.
All right.
Where are you? All right.
Well, until next time.
See you in the upside down.
See you on the other side.
On the other side.